Today is Wednesday, November 7th. This is the Chumash Shir. We're in Bereishis, middle of Perek Yud Zayin.
Okay, Rabotai. We're in the middle of Perek Yud Zayin of Sefer Bereishit. And I distributed the source pack, but after I ran it all off, then I have forgotten to include something else that I wanted to, and it's very critical, so I'm going to give out the single page in just a moment. Okay. We are at the beginning of Perek Yud Zayin, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avram, and he says something repetitively, 50 times, the same thing throughout the entire Perek. In effect, what's happening here is very simple. HaKadosh Baruch Hu establishes a covenant with Avram. The covenant happens to be the mitzvah of Brit Milah. He promises him that he will be fruitful and multiply. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising that he will be the God of Israel. That he will be the God of Israel, the Elokei Yisrael. And these three ideas, Brit Milah, it's a covenant, and that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will serve as your God, is going to be mentioned in several different ways, four or five times as we read the Psukim. I don't have a really good explanation, in fact, I don't have any explanation, not only a good explanation, why is it necessary to repeat the same theme 15 times in a span of a couple of Psukim. So just to show you already what's happening in Pasuk Bet, look what it says. Ve'etna b'riti b'neyu b'necha ve'arbe otcha b'mod ma'od. Good. Two psukim later. Ach ani hine b'riti itach ve'hayita la'av hamon goyim. Okay, my covenant is with you and you'll be the head of multiple nations. Okay, it's not exactly the way it's phrased in Pasuk Bet, V'arbe otcha, but the idea is the same. And then, he says again, in Hey, V'haya shimcha v'ram, ki av hamon gayim netaticha. Pasuk Vav, V'hifreiti otcha b'mod ma'od, u'netaticha ligoyim. In Pasuk Zayin, V'hakimoti et briti b'ni u'b'necho b'in zaracha b'recha, l'brit olam, l'hiyot l'cha l'elohim u'l'zaracha acharecha. And then again, look at Pasuk Tet. V'yomer Elohim al Abraham, v'ata et briti tishmor, ata v'zaracha acharecha l'dorotam. Over and over again. I'm not quite sure why It is so repetitive. It's obviously an important idea, but nonetheless, it is somewhat repetitive. So I just like to look at a couple of comments. We read the Psukim already. If you take a look at the handout, take a look at the first on the right hand side of the page, the Ramban. We read the Rashi. Let's refer to the Rashi on the opposite side of the Ramban, where it says Unitaticha Ligoyim. It says, "I will establish you as a nations Ligoyim." Says Rashi, which two nations are going to emerge from Avraham? Yisrael ve'Edom. I'm Yisrael and Edom. Who is Edom? Esav. Esav is going to come out of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Asks Rashi, what about Yishmael? Shaharei Yishmael kvar hayalo. He already had Yishmael. Velo haya mivasro alav. Hence, this particular covenant need not include Yishmael. That's what Rashi says. So you, Rabotai, what question would you like to ask Rashi in light of what is the essence of the Brit? I acknowledge that Yishmael has already been born. I acknowledge that. But what is the essence of this Brit which Yishmael has not yet heard? Because Avram hasn't heard it yet. What's the essence of this brit? What's Abraham's contribution? Brit Milah. Now, we know that Yishmael actually circumcised himself. The Torah tells us at the end of this parsha, we'll learn it in a couple of weeks, that he was 13 years old. So although Yishmael was born, he should have been mentioned here, naming that God would have expected Abraham and all of his children, including Yishmael, as he did, to circumcise himself. Why would you deny him inclusion in this particular parsha and instead include Esav? Yes?
Because he was born before Abraham had the
brit. So Abraham... assume that maybe Rashi assumes that he will not be obligated to participate because he was born prior to the commandment.
Correct.
Okay.
So
then why did he? Why does the Torah report that Yishmael circumcised himself? And he was not a baby where he had no choice. He was 13 years old. He could have said, God didn't ask me to do this. Why would he do it? And why would the Torah report it even more importantly?
He thought if he did have a brit, he would be included.
Okay, it's a good suggestion. But that's what Rashi says. Yes?
Something to do with Sarah being the mother.
Okay, good. Maybe he's focusing only on the descendants of those who come from Sarah. So Sarah will give birth to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak will give birth to Yaakov and Esav. Perhaps that is also a possibility. But now we take a look at the Ramban, and he doesn't like Rashi at all. So look at the Ramban right opposite Rashi. Unetaticha ligoyim, lashon Rashi, Yisrael ve'edom. Shahare Yishmael kvar haya lo, he had him. Velo haya mivaser alav. God is not informing Avram concerning anything about Yishmael. Ve'einenu nachon. This is simply incorrect, says the Ramban. Be'einan, in my opinion. Shivasrenu be'eit brit hamilah al Esav. It's strange that Rashi would believe that included in this particular topic is Esav, v'hu eino mikayem hamilah. There is absolutely no evidence whatsoever, not with Mr. Esav personally, nor any of his descendants, that what? That they participated in Brit Milah. We cannot say that about Yishmael. Yishmael is not only what? Not only personally perform Brit Milah, but the Muslim world, which is lining up. I read a report of a doctor who became a mohel with 1 month's training. How? He went to London. He said in London, there are lines out of doctors' offices of Muslims who want to circumcise themselves, who want to be circumcised, they and their children. And in 1 month, standing online, he had the opportunity to practice on 250 people. That'll train you pretty well. 250 cases. So Ramban asks, if he's not going to participate in the mitzvah Brit Milah, why would Rashi identify him as the Goyim who Avraham will be responsible for if the only component of this Brit is what we call Brit Milah? V'hu eino mikayem hamilah v'gam lo nitztava aleha. The Gentile world, Esav has not been commanded to circumcise themselves. It's not one of the Sheva mitzvot b'nei Noah that the entire world is commanded to observe. Kimoshe darshu b'Sanhedrin. As the Gemara in Sanhedrin inferred, that later on the Torah uses the expression, ki be Yitzchak yikare lechazara. Ki be Yitzchak. And the Gemara says, be Yitzchak means part of Yitzchak. Part of Yitzchak will be your descendants, yikare lechazara, v'lo kol Yitzchak. Obviously, it's Yankele and not Esav. V'lo kol Yitzchak. Avol Yisrael. So, how does the Ramban interpret the word goyim? How does he interpret it? Avol Yisrael livadam yikru'u goyim ve'amim. I have 50 Torah texts which identifies Am Yisrael not in the singular Am, not as a goy, but as goyim and amim. As he writes, as he quotes, v'chein af chovev amim. In Parshat Zot HaBracha, it says, God loves Amim. Who does he refer to? The 12 tribes. Each tribe is considered like an independent nation. Amim Har Yikra'u. Another pasuk in the Bracha of Yaakov, of Moshe rather. Acharecha Binyamin Be'amamecha. Following you will be Binyamin, the last of your tribes, Ba'amamecha, in your nations. Gam acharei holadat hashvatim kulam omar goy ukahal goyim yihyeh mimecha. When the last of the tribes were born, after Binyamin was born, what does the Torah speak about to Yaakov? That goy ukahal goyim yihyeh mimecha. Who's Kahal Goyim coming out of Yaakov? It's his 12 children. And as a result, here, when the Torah uses the expression of Unisaticha LeGoyim in Pasuk Vav, this is nothing to do with Yishmael, nothing to do with Esav. It refers exclusively to Yisrael. And halachically, technically, Ramban is of course 100% correct. Why? Because although the Muslims and Yishmael did choose to circumcise, they have not been thus commanded. God never told the subsequent children of Yishmael that they ought to be circumcised. He did not. Yes, Yishmael did. On account of what reason? Because every slave male in Avraham's household, as the last pasuk of the parsha will say, Nimolu ito, all became circumcised. Avraham did not want to have Arelim in his house. So the Ramban says, this is a covenant, this is nothing to do with other nations, this is a unique covenant with Am Yisrael. With Am Yisrael. And in fact, the Midrash amplifies, I don't have it here, but the Midrash amplifies how Avraham complained after he circumcised himself that none of the nations came to visit him any longer because he was considered different. And that's one of the reactions of has been for thousands of years. We're different, and therefore we're not human. And he said that until I underwent circumcision, everybody used to come to my door, and I had an opportunity to engage in hachnasat orachem to everybody. Now nobody comes to visit him anymore. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Domor, it's a hope." So it's a good. That's what Rashi says. Number one, and the Ramban. However, if you take a look at Radak on the left hand side below. The Radak, he agrees with Rashi and says, Goy means lots of different nations. V'hifreiti otach b'ma'od ma'od unasaticha l'goyim k'mo shepirashnu. Yitzchak, Yishmael, u'bnei Keturah. Kol echad mehem yiyeh l'goy. Yishmael, and all of the six children that Keturah had, who according to tradition is Hagar, will all become great nations. So there are two independent themes in this Brit. Independent. Part one is what? Is the fact that Avram has to circumcise himself. And number two, you're going to raise many nations. And the two are not necessarily intertwined. The only way it is intertwined is with Am Yisrael. With Am Yisrael. And that's why people are under the impression, perhaps even correctly so, that when a baby is born, they will say, and they might be right, that he's not really Jewish until what? Until he has a bris. And to some extent, it's not true halachically. Somebody does not have a brit, he's still Jewish, and is, can count to a minyan, and you know, and can marry a Jew. But to some degree, Kiddushat Yisrael is somehow supplemented, becomes more whole after the brit does take place. But here, Radak separates completely. Yishmael and the six children of Hagar, of Keturah, that's one promise. And then there is another promise, Yitzchak and Brit are going to be related to one another. The others are not at all connected to it. Not connected. So that's a little bit, the Ramban has a good point. That I should not be including anybody in this entire Perek Yud Zayin unless you're committed to Brit Milah. And that's why he decided, as we just read, this particular chapter is not a reference to Abram's total genealogy, but rather limited exclusively to Am Yisrael. Yeah. Point number two. We know that Abraham's name was changed from Avram to Abraham. So take a look at page number 2. I didn't number them, but page number 2. In this case, it's right after page number 1. Doesn't always happen, but... Chizkuni makes the following observation. And he writes, V'hayashimcha Avraham, minhagu lishanot shem le'adam, Kishehu ole ligdula. There is a common practice that when somebody has now been elevated in status, in rank, in position, the way it's popularized is includes the change of a name. And he gives half a dozen examples. V'chein gabe Sarah. Sarah also was an elevation to her status, just as Avraham was. Kimo shematzinu b'Yaakov. Yaakov, when he has all of his 13 children, and he is told that what? You're going to give birth to kings, milachim mimcha yetzeyu, his name is changed from Yaakov to Yisrael. B'Yosef. When Yosef becomes the viceroy, who changed his name? Paro. From Yosef to what? Safnat Paneah. He gave him, perhaps, according to most, it's an Egyptian name, Safnat Paneah. But he was elevated in stature. B'Yehoshua. We all know his name was Hoshea. And then Moshe, when he was one of the two Miraglim, representing Shevet Ephraim, Moshe changed his name from Hoshea to Yehoshua ben Nun. Bechananya Mishael va'Azaria. I brought you the source in Daniel, Perek, on page number 3. So, after Nebuchadnezzar took control of Eretz Yisrael, it says, "Vayasem lahem sar harisim shemot." The sar harisim, the jail minister, went ahead and gave Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah names. Vayasem leDaniel Balt Shatzar, leHananya Shadrach, leMishael Meshach. Ulazaria Avad Negoi. So there are precedents for the change in name due to an elevated stature. So therefore, don't be shocked here, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduces it for the very first time, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo yikareo Shimcha Avram, Vahaya Shimcha Avraham. And we learned last week that anybody who calls Avraham, Avram today, violates an aseh. Some call it even a lav. And that you're not permitted to do so. The reason why by Yaakov it does not apply is because God continues to call him Yaakov going forward, and therefore there can't be an Isur to call him Yankala if HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself continues to call him Yankala. So therefore he says this is nothing shocking. This is a pattern that we should be cognizant of throughout the entire Torah. Good. Please go now to page number 4, where the Midrash will comment on that which we read in Pasuk Vav, which I pointed out to you, which is just a repetition. V'hifreiti otcha b'ma'od ma'od. I will make you fruitful, very, very fruitful. U'netaticha l'goyim. I will convert you into multiple nations. U'milachim b'mcha yetzeyu. Says the Midrash Rabbah. V'hifreiti otach. When is this going to happen? She'amda lahem b'mitzrayim. This was not fulfilled immediately. Avraham did not have many children. Yes, Yaakov had 12 children, but that doesn't make you v'hifreiti otcha b'ma'od ma'od. I'm going to multiply you very, very, very much. When does this apply? When they went to Mitzrayim. As it says, black on blue in the Chumash. U'b'nei Yisrael paru vayishritzu vayirbu vayatzmu b'ma'od ma'od. Unetaticha lagoyim umilachim, and I will make you, convert you into nations, and you will be give birth eventually to kings. Bezechut hamila zachu Yisrael l'nevi'im umilachim. The Midrash is interpreting the phrase Nitaticha ligoyim as not great nations, but prophets. How do you come to establishing prophets from the phrase goyim? How does he say? How did he? So he quotes a pasuk, a very famous pasuk in Jeremiah. Nevi'im dechsiv unitaticha lagoyim. I will convert you into nations. V'ne'emar lahalan, it is said somewhere else, a little later, in Tanakh, Navi lagoyim nitaticha. I have placed you to be a Navi amongst nations. So, goyim nitaticha is reminiscent of prophets, and through commitment of the mitzvah of milah, says the Midrash, that's why Am Yisrael were zoche to have prophets and kings. Umilachim, where do I see milachim? Dechsev, it says later on in the conjunction with Yaakov, umilachim b'mecha yetzeyu. Yaakov hoped that who would wind up to be the king of Israel? Yosef. And God had other plans, and it wound up to be Yehuda who gave birth eventually to the kingdom. Asks the Midrash on itself. The halo umot ha'olam he'emidu nevi'im. What do you mean that on account of the mitzvah of milah, Am Yisrael were privy to producing nevi'im? There are nevi'im amongst Gentiles. So obviously a Navi has got nothing to do with what? With the mitzvah Brit Milah. Answers the Mishnah, answers the Medrash. Shinuyahi koda Matan Torah. This is all what? Before Matan Torah. Avala achar Matan Torah, paska mehem ruach hakodesh. The divine spirit, which is identified as prophecy, ceased completely amongst the nations of the world once the Torah was given. So ask the Midrash's next question. Don't look. What about Bilam? Bilam is after Ma. Ask the Medrash about Bilam. Vehalo Bilam. What are you going to say about that? And the, later on, when we, if you remember, about 15 years ago, when we learned Sefer Bamidbar, what comment did the Medrash make about the level of prophecy of Bilam? Perhaps even greater. Because lo kam bi Yisrael kimoshe od. No one ever achieved the level of prophecy in Am Yisrael like Moshe. But in Umot HaOlam, somebody did achieve the level of prophecy. And who was that? Bilam. And he was certainly after Kabbalah Satayra. Answers the Medrash, Lo Nisnabe El Al Yisrael. His only prophecy centered around Am Yisrael. In his attempt to curse, and he wound up blessing Am Yisrael. So therefore, if it's Am Yisrael, we can tolerate a Navi in Umot HaOlam who prophesied about Am Yisrael. Bahare Iyov Vireyav. What are you going to say about Job and his friends? Answers the Medrash. Kedivre HaOmer Iyov Iyov Bimei Yaakov Haya. There are four or five different opinions as to who or when Iyov lived and who wrote it. One opinion was that he was a contemporary of Moshe Rabbeinu. Other opinions, a contemporary of Yaakov. The Rambam writes, there ain't no person by the name of Iyov. It's just a book to tell us how to respond to tragedy, but there is no such person. But anyhow, so this Medrash says he was during the time of Yaakov. That means he's prior to Kabbalah Satorah. Nothing to worry about. So that's number one. Number two, V'halo umot ha'olam ha'emidu milachim. Have not the Gentile nations of the world produced lots of kings? What's the unique tribute that you're offering to Yaakov, to Avram, that you're going to have kings, and Am Yisrael were privileged to have kings as a result of Mila? What do you mean? Every Tom, Dick, and Harry nation has their own king. So what is that? What's that? Answers the Medrash. Of course it has a teretz. Ela poseket malchutam. Their kingdoms all have or eventually will come to an end. Avol Yisrael v'David avdi nasi lahem le'olam. But David HaMelech will retain his kingdom le'olam, and that only comes about as a result of the mitzvah Brit Milah. It's actually a little difficult to understand why Brit Milah is the trigger. I could have said that about any mitzvah and say, you know, but he's reading the text. God promises him Melachim, God promises him Nevi'im, or you interpret the word Or LaGoyim Nisatich from Yeshayahu and from Yirmiyahu as referring to prophets, and it's here, and for some reason it's connected connected to Nevi'im and Melachim. What symbolically that means is that if your children will observe the mitzvah of Mila, and obviously what the mitzvah of Mila represents, and I'm going to give out the kliyakar in a second, it means that you will achieve spiritual heights, symbolized by the Navi, and economic or political achievements, symbolized by the king. That's ultimately what it means, that Am Yisrael will be blessed with kings and prophets, but it's not necessarily the kings and the prophets, it's what they represent, what ideals they represent. However, I want to, as I said, I left it off the sheet initially, so that's great. I want to look at a kliyot. Thank you.
Before I finish the medrash. So the Kli Yakar on the bottom of the page, his first entry on this parsha, Ani Hine Briti Itach, I am establishing my covenant with you. Lashon Hine Moreh Al Davar Hamatsui Kvar. The word Hine is often used in a context where the item is already in existence. In which case, he's bothered by the use of the text Hine here, when Avraham has not yet what? Undergone the mitzvah of Mila. V'yesh lefaresh, and I can make the following explanation. Kvar biriti matsui b'cha. My brit is already identified in you, in Avraham. V'ho'emet kein hu. And what I just said is actually true. Avraham was already circumcised. What do I mean? Kistam mila chitzonit zu. The mila which we identify as circumcision, that's an external manifestation of Buriti Itcha. He litachlit nichbad. Its symbolism is done for what? A significant aspect. Significant aspect. Vehu shemimena yukach mofet al milat orlat halev v'taharato. Throughout the Chumash, we say this pasuk on Yom Kippur 15 times. Umol Hashem Elokecha et levavcha ve'et levav zarecha. What an unusual word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected to say, I have cleansed your heart. It didn't say v'tiher, umol. So that's what he's referring to. Ubali safek shekodem stamila kvar haya leAvraham leiv tahor vinamul. Avraham's heart has already been circumcised, has already been what? Worked on, cleansed.
Opened.
What? Opened, yes. Al kain omar lo Hashem yitbarach. Yodeya ani b'cha shekvar hine briti itach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Avram, you know why I'm giving you this mitzvah of Mila? Why am I giving it to you? Because I know that your heart has already been circumcised. You have a good heart. Ki tahor lev ata. That you are a clean, pure heart, pure person. Amnam. However, lefi she'achshav ani rotze la'asotcha av hamon l'chol goyim. Right now that I want to place you, not only as the head of Am Yisrael, but as the head, the symbolic leader of many nations, av hamon goyim, Sarich ani litain pitchon peh lechol ba'ei olam lama ani mimaneh otcha av hamon goyim. What question will be posed by all of the nations of the world? What makes him so special that you decided to appoint him of all people as av hamon goyim? Answers the Kli Yakar. Zehu lifarsem ma'alatcha v'tohar livavcha neged einei kol ho'amim. Why am I doing this? Because I want to publicize the fact that indeed your nishama, your heart, your feelings for people, your consideration about those who are less fortunate,
is you are way above and beyond anybody else in this regard. So how am I going to publicize this to the rest of the world? I can't open up your heart and show it to them. So what do? Al yedei mila chitzonit zu hami'ida al taharat alev. By engaging in circumcision, an external physical act of circumcision on an external limb, which will now serve as evidence of taharat halev. Leman yedu dorotechem, so that they shall know forever, ki bedin, by right, asiticha av hamon goyim. Vizehu she'omar, vahakimoti et briti, beini ubeinecha. This is what it will say in a couple of psukim, I have established my covenant between you and me. Ratzalomar, in other words, Brit Livavi Pinimi, Asher Haya Kvar Kamus Beini Ubeinecha, the covenant of a pure golden heart, which already existed between me and you. I knew what Taharat Halev you already had. However, Lo Yadu Bo Kol Bolei Olam, the rest of the nations of the world were unaware of this. Nay achshav hakimoti degel neis habris hahu. Now I have established this as a degel, as what? As a flag, as a sign for this message. Leman yedu bo kol bo'ei olam, so that everyone shall know this. Vizehu sha'omar librit olam. And this is what the text will later identify Brit Milah as, Brit Olam. How is he translating the word Olam here? Not as the way we would translate it as what? As permanent? As a permanent? Eternal? No. What does Brit Olam mean here? The Brit which is sending the message to the rest of the world. It's a very interesting read. It's not the simple pshat. Ratzal Omar, Oto Brit, Shahaya beini ubeinecha yeh ata lebrit kol haolam ki chol bo'ei olam yida'uhu v'yistaklu bo. Everybody will come and notice this particular symbol on your body, and they will hopefully get the message why I have selected you, because you exhibit taharat halev, and that is something that is part of the messianic promise. The pasuk Uvumol Hashem Elokech Levavcha is said in the context of a messianic vision that eventually all of Am Yisrael will reflect somebody whose heart has been circumcised and is open to the to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Yeah.
Why did they pick that part of their
body? I can't answer that question. I don't know. Yes. It's a good question. It's a good question. That's why he didn't deal with it.
But you can understand that she probably had the circumcised heart.
I am sure she did. But it's a good question. Yes.
She should support her husband and to do it.
What?
Yeshiva's answer would be that she supported her husband.
That's correct. Right. Exactly. That's right. And that's not our favorite answer here. Take page number 5, and I want to show you the Netziv reading of these phrases which we've seen ad infinitum. Just as by way of comment, you should be aware of it, the Netziv's introduction to Sefer Bereishis is one of the greatest pieces of literature. You should take a look at it. He calls the book, every book of the Chumash has a nickname. So the Ramban calls Sefer Bereishis Sefer HaYetzirah. Correct. And and Shemot is called Sefer HaGeula. They're all nicknamed. Mishneh Torah is Devarim. Fine. The Nitziv calls Sefer Bereshit Sefer HaYisharim. And he explains what is the definition of a Yashar. We recited Avarachamim this week. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember Tzadikim, Chasidim, and Yisharim. So what is the unique characteristic of a Yashar? So the Nitziv writes, it's people who demonstrate the ability to get along with individuals with whom they disagree, who have different perspectives on life. And if you look at Avraham, he, you know, managed to get along with a lot of different kind of people. Lot was not exactly, he was his nephew, but the way he interacts with Melech Mitzrayim, okay, he never blasted Paro. Paro was the one who was upset with him. Why did you tell me she was my sister? Same thing with Avimelech. He gets along. The shepherds of Lot and Avram can't get along. So Avram's not getting crazy. Okay, you want to live together? Fine. You don't want to live together? You want to separate? Be my guest. So the Nitziv is the one who coined that this book is called Sefer Yisharim, because it demonstrates how people, Yaakov got along with Paro, Yitzchak gets along with Avimelech, even though he does the same thing, he says that Rivka is my sister, and he's angry with him, and he doesn't maintain a grudge. So it's an interesting name for the book, and it's an interesting interpretation as to what the criteria for a Yashar to earn that title. That's the only quality you have to have, to be able to get along with other people who disagree with you. If you were coming to shul and you happen to be listening to the president's press conference, you'd see it's exactly not what the Nitziv did not have in mind. He was like ranking out every guy. He just said, I don't know why you're working for CNN. Because he asked him a question. You should be fired. This one. You're just as stupid as he is. It's incredible. But anyhow, says the Nitziv, Va'arbe otav, I will make you into a great nation. So everyone thus far interpreted ribui as having more children.
Multiply.
Exactly. Says the Nitziv, that's not the way I read it. Va'arbe otav, lo kivein, liribui banim bekamut. It does not mean here that he is promising Avram about his children bekamut. Maze kamut? Quantity. Why? Sha'al zeh kvar hivtiach. God already promised that to Avram before this covenant. What did he say? V'haya zaracha ka'afar ha'aretz. Your children will be as multiple as what? As plentiful as what? As the grains of sand in the earth. Vigam lo ribui ba'anashim gidolim. And he's not necessarily informing Avram about great personalities. Why? Shigam zek farhivtichu shiyihiyu kakochavim. Because he explained that when God says that your children will be kichochvei hashamayim larov, it's not a quantity bracha, because you can't count the number of stars, but in order to reach the stars, what happens? You have to be tall, you have to have stature. So that bracha refers to men of stature, people of stature. Ela hapirush agadel otcha be'enei habriyot. I will make you great people. Who will ultimately recognize your greatness? Who will recognize? The nations of the world. That's what's being vo'ar be'otcha ben hagoyim. there will come a time where our contributions will be recognized and appreciated. Recognized and appreciated. We know the frustration at times today. We know the frustration. When Israel sends a delegation of a floating hospital to Nicaragua or any place else, we're a little upset that the people of the world don't what? Don't recognize, don't give us the credit for it. Or the fact that they're helping out the Jordanians with building desalination plants to solve their water problems as they have almost solved their own water problems. Nobody mentions that. Nobody ever gives them credit. Here, and this part, Mashelo haya behavtacha atko. This aspect had not been mentioned at all. So the mitzvah of Brit Milah and its covenant, the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not promising to have lots of children, not promising to have significant children, but it's promising that your contributions and your greatness will be recognized by everybody else and hopefully appreciated as well. That's point number one. Point number two. Look at the nitziv, which I bracketed below, on the phrase "V'hayita le'av hamon goyim." Says the nitziv, "Sha'at ko, until this time, shekara Avraham b'shem Hashem, when Avraham publicly pronounced the name of God." Where did we see him? What did he do when he wanted to have a public affair? What did he do when he wanted to publicize God's greatness and existence? What did he build? What? What he built what? Mizbechot. It never ever says that he offered a korban. We pointed that out. He built a mizbeach. What did it mean? It was a platform. Where he stood on that platform, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. Not that he brought him a korban, he preached and screamed that out loud to attract people. V'giyer Kama Anashim. And he indeed succeeded in converting lots of people. Where did we see that at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha? V'et HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charan. It's the fourth pasuk of the parasha. And the people who he made in Charan. Lo haya ela otam anashim shenitgayru legamrei. It was only those people who converted completely. V'nichnesu b'chlal ovdei Hashem b'torato shelimdam Avraham. That group of people fully subscribed to Avraham's way of life. And whatever we would have considered Torah on Abraham's part, these people followed it in its entirety. What does it mean, Asher Asu? He taught them what his understanding of Torah was all about. So, from a simple pshat point of view, it means studying, maybe, what would he know about Torah? The Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, that's about it. Nothing beyond that. Nothing beyond that. The Medrash, of course, can't tolerate that, and says that Avraham observed every law and even rabbinic laws, such as Eruv Tavshilin. Eruv Tavshilin. Now, in order for Avraham to make an Eruv Tavshilin, there had to be 2 days Yontiv on Thursday and Friday, and there is an Issur D'Rabbanan, unless you make an Erev Tavshilin, about cooking from Yontiv to Shabbos. There were no Yom Tovim, there weren't 2 days Yontiv. Okay. But that's what the Medrash says. So of course the Medrash is trying to tell us something. So when you have a Medrash like that, and you ask, why did the Midrash, in order to identify Avraham's piety, have to use the illustration of Erev Tavshilin? Couldn't think of something else. Because one of the explanations as to why an Eruv Tavshilin works, the legal mechanics of it, is that anything you cook on Yom Tov, in theory, is not necessarily for Shabbos. When you're cooking for Shabbos. What could you always say I'm cooking for? Oh, I'm getting guests. In case 50 guests decide to come in Friday afternoon, I need something to feed them. So I'm not really cooking for Shabbos, I'm cooking for Yantar. That's going to be left over. For what type of person does that logic make any sense? Only Avraham. Because he was waiting for guests all the time. For any of us, it's just a crooked way of circumventing the rabbinic law. You're not allowed to cook on Yantar for Shabbos. So the Medrash illustrated his piety with the one mitzvah that we know was his outstanding thing. But says the Nitziv. Now, this, Davar Zan, line 3, E.F. Shar B'chol Ha'olam, it is unreasonable to expect that he's going to reach the entire world and teach them Torah, whatever Torah existed. That's impossible. Ume Rosh Mikedem, Lo Haya HaKavana, Elo LaHatziv Givulot Amim LeMispar B'nei Yisrael. And initially, what was God's intention concerning Avraham? To establish nations who will all be under the auspices of Mispar B'nei Yisrael. Avolo Shiyu Kulam Bichlal Adat Yisrael. God had no intention of making Avraham, Av Hamon Goyim, that he's now going to what? Teach Torah to all of the nations of the world. It's unreasonable. Avol zeh haratzon, hazeh haya haratzon v'hatachlit, shiyu kol umot ha'olam yod'im et Hashem, v'ho'elilim klil yachlif. And they will never substitute elilim, meaning idols, instead of God. Ulidavar zeh, his hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu et Avram, Shiyehe Ritzono Lahashkia Da'ato Lihiyot Le'av Hamon Goyim Lahakiram et Hashem. Ubazeye Nikra Av Hamon Goyim. Says the Nitziv, what was Avram's sole challenge and task to engage in as the Av Hamon Goyim? To convince the entire world that monotheism is the only way to go. That's it. That they ought to recognize Asedor Abashefer. That's it, that there is a creator. That's it. Nothing beyond that. And that would be an enormous accomplishment. Enormous accomplishment. If somebody really believed. Now, you can say, that if you take the major religions of the world, the majority of the world does somehow believe in one God. Certainly Islam does. Don't necessarily follow everything that it says, but they certainly believe in one God. Christianity, it depends on what side of the debate you line up with. Rambam believed that Christianity is idolatry, because they believe in the Trinity. The Ramban said, no, Christians are God-abiding. Muslims are not God-abiding. And historians have said, neither of them should believe, not the Rambam or the Ramban. They just said what they had to say based on where in Spain they were living. The Rambam lived in Muslim Spain. So he had to say that the Muslims are God-fearing and the Christians are not. The Ramban lived in Christian Spain, so he had to say the opposite. But anyhow, says the Nitziv, the whole intention of a Hayita La'av Hamon Goyim is only to convince the world that there is only one single God, our God. And if the entire world were to understand it, not just pay lip service to it, but understand it, the world would be a different world. They would understand that the will of God is to respect other life, to respect other people's property, and as a result, the world would be a different world. And that's what we're hoping for. But don't think that this promise of Av Hamon Goyim is that Avram had a challenge and a charge to make everybody a Baba V'Chassid. That was not far from the truth. It was unrealistic that he did that. It was enough that he succeeded with his little small clan of people, V'tanefesh asher asu b'charan, which for some reason it's always bothered me. How come the Torah never refers to them ever again? If there was this clan of people who Avram converted, and they were following his Torah to the nth degree, how can Torah ever talk? What happened to them? Were they living? Well, what's going on? Not a bloody word about it at all. I don't know. But here is the challenge somehow to lead the nations of the world and the respective religions of the world into believing that there is only one God. And we close with our hope and prayer that the Netziv happens to be right. We'll continue next to Bach.